Welcome to Saturday morning prayer. Let's open by just going to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your faithfulness. And may we redeem this hour together, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in preparation for today's psalm, as I look through it, and it's all about Israel and the persecution of Israel, and I think what a fitting time it is for us. Many of you may have been praying for Mike Johnson this week, and great things happening right now in Washington in a way, and yet some such critical things as well. And I was just so blessed to see a politician who is not concerned about holding on to his position and seeking much prayer to do what God's will is and standing for Israel no matter what. And, you know, to try to keep everybody happy today is kind of difficult because we've got us conservatives on one side and us super conservatives on one side who want nothing to do with anything to do with the present administration and the present government and federal surveillance and those kinds of things. And on the other side, we got the border open with thousands of illegals coming in and all kinds of terrorists and so forth. And but to see a man willing to give his position, he didn't want that position in the first place. It doesn't mean much to him as far as position goes, but he wants to stand for what is right in the Lord's sight. And so when we have a godly leader, I think we really need to pray for them. Yet I hear a lot of people criticizing him. I heard Charlie Kirk the other day, "I'm mad at Mike Johnson," and I go, "What?" Anyway, he was really mad that Johnson was the deciding vote on that FISA, that Federal Inspection Surveillance Act or whatever it is. And but when I heard Mike Johnson's comments on that, he said, yeah, he was really not in favor of federal surveillance, but considering the number of terrorists and so forth that we have coming into the country right now, we need some tools to watch them. And so, but at any rate, not to spend too much time on politics, but Israel continues to be hated, and hated and maybe in this country more visibly than ever before. Have you ever heard of Golden Gate Bridge being closed or O'Hare Airport being shut down or Philadelphia streets blocked off by people supporting Hamas and against Israel? I mean, that happened this week. And we've got thousands and thousands of college students like willing to die for Hamas. They don't even have a clue to what they're talking about. They don't even know. So we need to pray. But we have this psalm here this morning, which is about persecution against Israel, which is kind of amazing that 3,000 years ago there would have been something. The Bible is just so unbelievably pertinent and current, isn't it? No matter how far we are from when it was written. And Psalm 129, Song of Victory over Zion's Enemies. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say. That's amazing. You see Israel in the Bible 3,000 years ago. I thought it just happened recently when they went on their colonial rampage and took over all the land, right? Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. So another one of the songs of ascents, and another little shorty here, really, in a way, 8 verses. But many a time they have afflicted me or persecuted me, and the me could be the psalmist in a way, or a Christian, or one who stands for the Lord. But I think there's a national aspect to this psalm, because the very next verse, the last part of that verse is comma, let Israel now say. So this is really about, this has a national implication to it, in my opinion. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. So if you go to Israel today, you can see all kinds of things about the Roman power and the Roman ruins and all that kind of a thing. You can see some Grecian things. But you don't hear much about Italy these days, although we had 3 great tenors on that song we just sang when we started, didn't we? They were world-class tenors, and they're all Italian, you know. But we don't hear much about Rome these days. We don't hear much about Greece these days, do we? But you will have probably an Israeli guide telling you about Israel. So Israel is still there and always will be there, because God has promised that it will always be there. And soon, and very soon, Jesus will take the church out, and the sin will be done away with, and then his kingdom will be established out of Jerusalem. He will sit and reign on the seat at the throne of David. So let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they've not prevailed against me. So we see the hatred, the anti-Semitism, on and on and on and on. And when you go back through history, you look at all of the different times, the Hamans in the time of Esther, or you see the Hitlers in time of World War II, or you see all of the things going on now. And it's amazing how hatred seems so strong, but God always brings it to a point and then it doesn't go any further, right? It doesn't survive. I don't think the Third Reich is lasted more than what? It didn't last 3 centuries or whatever it's supposed to, or 3,000 years, whatever it's supposed to, I don't know. But it didn't last very long. So they have not prevailed against me. Verse 3, national implication, and also thinking of our Lord and Savior. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. That certainly would have application at the time of their 400 years in Egypt as slaves there. It certainly has their time on the cross with our Lord and Savior on the cross, thinking of the ripping of his back by the whip. Plowed on my back, they made their furrows long. You know, the lectors, the ones that did the whipping, they prided themselves on not leaving any part of the back intact. They wanted to rip the entire back, and even wrapped around and taking the skin off of the front as well. So they plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. But now we have God's activity. The Lord is righteous. Isn't that great? We have a God that's righteous, totally righteous. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. So rest assured, as strong as the wicked looks today, it will not prevail, cannot prevail. God will not allow it to prevail. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all college students and others, right? All who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. And I shouldn't be railing on college students. They're only doing what they've been taught by their professors, right? Because we've had such a total switch in education these days. In the old days, it was great to get a college education, would help you. Now it seems like a large majority of the kids coming out of college have nothing but hatred for America and hatred for God. And not all. We have some wonderful Christians always, but by and large, we've got the college campuses are a hotbed of anti-Semitism right now. You might have followed a little bit Columbia University in New York this week, what all went on there, and not to dwell on, you know, we can spend all our time on keeping up to date with all these things and totally stay away from the Word of God, which is not the right ratio, right? But let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. And now the illustration, let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up. Even today, there's still a lot of flat roof houses in Israel. And that basically becomes another floor for you to have activity on, particularly in the warm months. You get up at night there where it's cooler, and the wind would blow. And you know, they had to put some railings or parapets or whatever it is around the edge, so that was required, so people didn't fall off. But that would catch all the seeds and dust and stuff that blows too, right? So every year you would have the grass, the weeds growing up on your housetop, but they have no really roots, so they grow up, but they wither before they ever come to fruition. And there's nothing up there for a reaper to gather. It says, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he binds sheaves, his arms. So we're talking there about harvest now. When you bind the sheaves, or in our case today, maybe when you bale the hay and harvest the grain. But there's nothing, the wicked here are like that. They grow up and look really strong and healthy, but they die out, and there's nothing left after them because they get destroyed, and there's no lasting impact from that really. Nor he who binds his sheaves, his arms. And then verse 8, neither let those who pass by them. So these are the wicked, these are the naysayers, these are the ones who are the mockers and so forth. And basically it says, don't let them say the traditional Jewish greeting when you would go by workers on harvest or anything like that. The blessings of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. You remember in the book of Ruth how that's what exactly the workers would say to Boaz, and Boaz would respond to them, the Lord bless you. And such a precious picture there to see the employees and the employer praising the Lord and asking for the Lord to bless each of them. It's such a beautiful thing there. So neither let those who pass by them say, the blessings of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. So don't let the wicked, don't you address the wicked in blessing their wickedness. Don't let you come across a cultist and ever hint, may the Lord bless you. We don't want the Lord to bless that. Now, if they turn from that and turn to the Lord, it's a different story. But it says, don't let them, right? Don't let those who pass them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. But the converse of that is to bless those who are for him and doing what he would have to do. So it doesn't mean we're not to go around and ever say, don't say God bless you, but make sure you know who you're saying it to, and you're not promoting wickedness in any way. I think it's got a part of that too. But we've got the national aspect here, and then we've got the personal aspect. Remember, we have a righteous Lord, and the wicked will not prevail. Israel will stand, and all those who do rightly will stand, right? Well, Father, we thank you for this psalm. We recognize the persecution against those who stand for you, Old Testament and New Testament. We think of the Fox's Book of Martyrs and how martyring has been there for so long. Think of Stephen all the way back in the book of Acts. Help us to stand for what is right, Lord. And help us to support in prayer those who are standing for you. Help us to pray for our leaders who stand for you. And of course, we always pray to raise up more godly leaders, and we know that can only come from you, because it won't come from the Republic, who's by and large a majority of wickedness. So the ones that are filling so many positions today, and we see their wickedness, we see the wickedness in the justice system, in the Justice Department, in many of the judges and those in justice. But you know all of that, and all of that will be taken care of soon. But here we are this morning, and help us to redeem this time as we would pray, as you would lead us to pray, Holy Spirit. And if the prayer is not led by you, it's kind of worthless words. So, Lord, if you give us something to say, may we say it. If you don't give us something to say, may we keep our mouth shut. We don't have to have noise going all the time, Lord, because we want to listen to you as well. And silence is wonderful. How many of us can really be comfortable in silence? We feel, oh, I've got to do something because I can't stand this silence. But help us to wait on you, not wait on anything else, but to wait on you and to pray as you would lead us, Lord. And we thank you for this oneness that you put in our little family here each Saturday morning, and we can just come to you. What a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. We thank you for it. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Father, I just want to thank you again for Saturday night last weekend, how you protected Israel and how a large number of those rockets and so forth exploded on the ground before they even were fired. That's not the Iron Dome or anything else protecting. That is you just wiping them out. And with the measured response of Israel, I thank you for that. And I thank you, although the retaliation was huge, promised if that happened, nothing happened from it, Lord. And so I thank you for that. So I thank you for this lack of escalation at the moment. But we know at your moment, when it is time, it will happen. Ezekiel 38 will occur. It's been prophesied, and we know that that hotbed over there will explode in our terms, but yet that's all for the good, because that's just fulfillment of what you said you're bringing. Yeah. And it's your timing, Lord, and help us not to get caught up too much in that, other than we still have today, I guess, or at least we have this morning, we have this hour, apparently, and may we use it, and every hour you give us until we're out of here, and you leave us here for a reason. And that is, you want more to be in the kingdom, and you want us to be instruments of that light and salt. So help us in that, and especially in our prayer life, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Let us close by singing this old Isaac Watt hymn, 300 years old. Alas, and did my Savior bleed or at the cross? Father, we thank you. And Lord, help us to have that joy that just is so effervescent that would stand out just so much in this dark and dying world. And Lord, the good news that you've given us is such good news.
Yes.
May we not hide it and keep it hidden, but may it be shared through our lives, Lord, and in our on our knees as well. So we thank you. Amen.